It's about time for a change.
We're our national leaders.
AmericanWorkersRadio.com.
You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products with your host, Michael Blihash.
Well, welcome once again to another edition of American Workers Radio here on 860. And our listeners in the Philadelphia, New Jersey, and Northern Delaware area know our call letters, 860 AM, very well. And I encourage you to call family members and friends and invite them to tune in. Today, we're going to have a very special guest with us. And in fact, if you have someone in the household that is going into junior high school, maybe into high school, or preparing for college, today's guest may be a nice resource for you to have, that you would be able to know what he did to further himself up the ladder of success as he went through junior high school, and also through college. Remember, if you live outside the area, anyone can listen to us anywhere in the USA or throughout the world simply by going on to AmericanWorkersRadio.com and click on the front page. You can have the link right there available to you. Listen now. And if you'd like to hear rebroadcasts later on today, you can listen by going to the Listen Anytime link and click on. Well, first, I want to thank all of you for tuning in, helping us promote education, job skills, the restoration of the trades, and more schools across the USA, and every type of career opportunity that could become made available in junior and senior high school so students know where they're ready to go before graduation, long before graduation. I'm Michael Blihash, and I want to thank Mark Andel, Rich Logis, and Larkin Connolly, our regular broadcast panel members, and also thank Henry Chaplinsky, who is our engineer. Last week, we had a great guest as well. His name was Michael Grunwald. If you didn't have a chance, I know it's vacation season, to tune in, then go to the front page of American Workers Radio, and you'll be able to hear not only last week's show, but all of the shows that have taken place during the last few months. Well, as you know, we talk about education and how important it is to restore the trades, the vocational arts, and everything else. We're doing it, but so many of the people in charge of the dollars are not doing it. And a lot of our supporters believe that by the seventh grade, every American student should have an idea of what they're going to do after they graduate from high school, before they enter college or another level of training in the arts or the trades. They should already know what they like to do and what they want to do. America's school boards and teachers need to really refocus the classes that will allow the students to have access to future career classes of every type, and that's at no later than 5 years before they graduate from high school. Today, as we gather with Rich Logis, Mark Andel, Larkin Connolly, and all of you, we have a very special guest. It's a member of the Andel family. It's Dan Andel, and he's up there in beautiful Buffalo, New York area. And of course, Mark, as you know, is listed on the front page of our internet site. I encourage you to click on his store. Just click on his picture. It goes right to the store. And support him in every way that you can. When you're up there in Niagara Falls or in his original store or any of the malls, make sure you go in and check out what he has to offer. But let's get to our special guest, Dan Andel, and I'm going to ask Mark Andel to introduce him.
Yeah, how you doing, guys? I've got Daniel Andel on. Daniel is my nephew, and Dan joined me about 5 years ago. Dan's got a great story. Of course, his dad and me, you know, drive Dan. He's got the Andel working disease, and Dan came a real long way. He put 5 years into college, but I'd like to introduce Dan and have Dan tell the story, because he lived it, of what he went through, not only in school from the guidance counselors, how they pushed towards college, which was fine, but Dan will tell you his side of that, and then also the debt that he's accumulated. He's worked a double job while he went to school to help pay off his debt, but his wife, Kelly, now has a lot of debt she was left with. So I think Dan's is a great, honest, up-to-date story. So I'd like to introduce Daniel Andel.
Dan, welcome to the show.
Hi, how you guys doing today?
Great.
Good. So I got I got pretty lucky going through college. Going through high school, they did push college. That was where you were going. There was never much of a push for for welders, fabricators, carpenters. Really wasn't much for the skilled trades. It was always go to college, get a degree, make good money, get a good job. But as you get into the working world and you realize what the job market is when you get out of college, things change from the nice, bright American dream of a nice house and a white picket fence and 2.5 kids to a little more serious than what you think going into college. I was lucky enough to get a work study program my first year of college and work at a local police department, which led to a job in the security department at school. And once I was hired on full time, I actually got two and a half years of my college tuition paid for as a full time employee of the college. But as Mark stated, my wife was not that lucky, and coming from her family, she was the first one to go to college and receive higher education. And she went to she wanted to be a counselor, so that job requires a license, which requires 6 years of schooling. So she had to get a graduate's degree. And going through a private college, 4 years there and then 2 years at St. Bonaventure, which is where she got her master's degree, she acquired just about $120,000 in student loan debt, which we're paying off still today and probably will be for quite some time now. So, but she never had the information. To her it was the same thing I got, go to college, get a good job. But nobody really explained the debt. And then once you accumulate the debt, how you're going to pay it off, especially in a job that is where the market's very oversaturated, and you're only making a certain amount of money before they say, okay, we'll find somebody else to do that same job.
Dan, before we get to Larkin and Rich, I'm going to ask you one question. When you were in junior high school, did you have any counselors that were talking about what you could do or should do based upon what you felt you were capable of doing or wanted to do? Did that start when you were in the seventh or eighth grade?
Not in the seventh or eighth grade. We did wood shops and whatnot then, but little ones, but nothing that really kind of got you or geared you towards a career. That was until about maybe 10th, 11th grade when you were starting to look for colleges that they really started, going to careerbuilder.com and you take the surveys and the questionnaires and it would tell you what field you're good in. The counselors really wouldn't look too much at your report card and say, hey, you're really good at the sciences or the maths, or, did you consider going this way, or do you really like this? There wasn't much of that. It was more just they let the career builder do that for you.
Well, see, that's already a little late in the process when you're just 2 years away from graduation. But
right.
I think that they really should. Larkin, I'm going to turn the next question over to you, to our great guest, Dan Andel.
Good morning, Dan.
Good morning, Larkin. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Good morning to your uncle and to Rich and Henry and Michael. Before I speak to Dan, I wanted to make a very quick apology for my untimely exit from last weekend's program. I was in Las Vegas, of all places, and everybody may say ooh and ah, but I'm not particularly crazy about Las Vegas. But I was out there on business, and I was on the 35th floor of the Aria, and I could not get a clean signal. So I thought, Mark and Rich and you, Michael, had it covered, so I thought, well, I'd just get out of the way.
We had a wonderful guest last week. And I can tell by listening to Dan, he's going to really give us the full treatment today. So, Larkin, take it away.
So Dan, your story is you're a pioneer of sorts, I think, in the coming generations, as we recognize that every high school graduate cannot go on to a four-year, $60,000 a year if you're lucky college, and then suffer the consequences of that debt while you try to find a job in a shrinking market for white-collar people. At what point did you realize that you were actually on the wrong path? Was there an epiphany? Was it something that your Uncle Mark said to you or your dad? At what point did you say, I'm just pointed in the wrong direction?
For me, it was more so, I mean, like I said, I had a little bit better. I didn't have too many loans when I escaped college because of the my job as a full-time employee of the college. I received free tuition for the last 2.5 years. But it really hit me with my wife. I mean, that was a pretty large debt that, you know, I bought my first house when I was 23, thanks to, you know, my Uncle Mark hiring me here, and bought my first mortgage, and that was $65,000. And then I looked at my wife's student debt and realized that I could afford a house twice as much with just her debt. and that's kind of when it hit me that, you know, realizing paying the mortgage every month, that was a pretty large sum of money that was going to be very difficult to pay off, you know, especially with the job market and whatnot. But it wasn't really until after college, because, you know, that you notice the debt, because the whole time you're in college, they feed you money like there's no tomorrow. There is no, I mean, yes, you know, you're expected to repay it, and you kind of, you know that, but it's not really pushed that much. It's just kind of like, you know, get your degree, and then you'll get a job after college that allows you to pay your debt. But that's kind of where the falsity comes in, is that once you graduate college, you go to find that job, and you realize that the job market isn't as bright as what you thought. And that's where it really gets to the realization that you have 6 months to find that job before you have to start paying back that debt. You know, and you can go on income-based payments like my wife is on now. Problem is, she's been paying her loan for 3.5 years and hasn't paid one penny to the principal. So that hurts. You know, you look at it, and the principal never goes down. So I guess just looking into it a little bit more, and once you kind of get into the realization of the, you know, the real business world, that's when you realize that it's a real debt.
Yeah, I applaud you. At 23 years old, I can almost guarantee you, I was arguing with my parents of why I didn't have a bigger room at home. So to actually own your home is quite a feat.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. Yeah, it was nice.
And Rich, what would you like to ask Dan?
Guys, good morning. Dan, thanks so much for being on.
No problem. Thanks, Rich.
Is Mark really that much of a tyrant at work? I need to ask, though.
What's that?
I need to know. Is your uncle really that much of a tyrant at work?
No, he's not that bad.
No, I was say, well, Mark, good morning.
Good
morning, guys. Dan, I want to first say, if you haven't heard our broadcast from last week, we had someone, a reporter from Politico on, Mike Grunwald. He was talking about student loan bubble. And, you know, he did bring up a good point near the very tail end of his appearance that, unlike the mortgage fiasco, which it's the tentacles of which sucked onto a lot of different things, this is specifically for students. And not that it'll make you feel any better, Dan, but I want to tell you I'm with you.
Yeah.
I graduated college 15 years ago, man. That balance just don't seem to go down, right?
No
matter how much
you're
paying it, it just seems to just kind of stick around. And you seem like you were a lot more focused in on what it was that at least maybe you wanted to do. I was just a knucklehead who had no idea. Right.
Yeah, well, I switched a few times.
Went to college because that's what you're supposed to do.
Right.
Quote.
Well, that's what I did, and I was going originally for forensic science, you know, which got me my work study program at the local police department and working there. I wanted to be a cop, so I kind of switched a little bit there, but same kind of path. And then they had all told me. They said everything you need to become a cop, they teach you in the police academy. So they said don't go for criminal justice or forensic science. Go for, you know, go for something else and have a backup plan. So that's when I switched my degree, my major, to business, because I figured everything's a business, no matter if it's a not for profit or if it's a police department. Everything runs like a business. So that's what I switched my degree to, and went for Customs and Border Protection after college, and they were on a hiring freeze for about 5 years. When Mark opened the store, the opportunity came. I enjoyed what I was doing, so I stuck here.
Well, I'll tell you, Dan, you're a remarkable person. You know, as you're talking, I'm wondering, because I'm hoping that parents and grandparents listening in, hear what Dan Andel is saying, and maybe you talk it over with their children and grandchildren. But Dan, when you were in high school or even junior high school, were there any guidance counselors and teachers whatsoever trying to guide the students of that those classes into some career opportunities they felt would help them in the future?
Not really. I mean, not in the high school level. They were more so just pushing you to college, and then they would leave it up to the college counselors more so to kind of pick where you were going, you know, on that path, and then the college counselor would make sure you got the right classes to get the degree, that you had all your prerequisites under, you know, under your belt in the first couple years of college, and they would kind of set you up there. But what's never really talked about, you know, like I said, is the debt you incur and the career path you're on and what the median pay for that job is. You know, now granted, we have all the, you know, Google gives you any information you want. You can go and you can Google anything, read enough articles, you'll get a good enough, you'll be able to form a good enough opinion to figure out where everything's at. So it could be up to the student to, you know, to kind of go through that. But, you know, I mean, it's still kind of, somebody should still kind of say, your career path, you know, the median salary for that career path is this. And you realize that you're going to incur this much in debt by getting that degree. Like, for instance, my wife had to get, she's a licensed mental health counselor, an LMHC. In order to perform her job, she needs that license, and she's licensed in New York State. But in order to get that license, you need a graduate's degree, which is 6 years of college. So she went through the 6 years of college knowing that this is what she wanted to do, but never realized that the debt-to-income ratio was going to be impossible to ever pay off. It's a lifelong debt.
Right, right. You know, Dan, 25 years ago, 30 years ago, when the counselors in the school, what they would do is they would have these special programs. They would have assemblies, and people would come out and talk about career opportunities and even operate a career fair, take you out to places to see the different types of skills that were being offered to see if you wanted to bite at any of them. From what I'm hearing from everyone in the areas that I work in, that's not happening anymore. The counselors are there, but they're focused on other opportunities, and they're talking to the kids like, you know, babying them rather than asking them the hard question, what do you want to grow up to be? And I, from listening to you, I mean, I'm listening to a very positive part of the education system. Can you point to any counselor in your school that you focused on, say, I want to go and talk to that person about some opportunities when I'm in the 8th, 9th, 10th grade?
Not really in high school. College was a little bit easier to do that with because a lot of the teachers, at least at the college I went to, had a background in the career field. A lot of them were you know, part-time where they would do, you know, they would do the physical job during the day, and then they would teach night classes. And with my job as a security officer working the morning shift, I took a lot of afternoon classes. So that's where I got most of my information from. And like I said, working at the local police department, that, you know, there I was able to gain a lot of real-life experience from people who have been there to really kind of help me out. But as far as a high school avenue, you know, I mean, honestly, when I went for forensic science, it's because I like the show CSI. You learn really fast that CSIs, you don't do the investigation, you don't go and catch the criminal, and you don't do all the scientific, you know, forensic back-end work. And the same job, they're all different. You know, so TV skews it a little bit to what you think, but that's the reason I went for forensic science. That's what I really enjoyed. But going into college, there really wasn't anything, you know, anything there for just, it was more so just go to college. Go to college, because when you go to college, you know, I guess it's, you know, it's the American dream, you know, you go from elementary school to middle school to high school, you know, then you go to college, and then, you know, from college you get this great job, and then you get your, you know, then you get your house with a white picket fence and 2.5 kids, and, you know.
You know, Dan,
very,
I've been.
It's very there.
Let me make a comment to that end, and then ask Dan another question. The United States has slipped egregiously down to 36th in science and 29th in math or whatever that is. And it has absolutely nothing to do with the intellectual quality of of our students and our teachers and our institutions in this country. It has everything to do with students who have no more right being in college, going to college, and kind of ruining the curve. And that's genuinely the problem with all of this national press that we received that we're now 36th in science. But, Dan, let me ask you something. Do you have a younger brother or a younger nephew?
Younger nephew, yeah. Yeah, I'm the youngest of three brothers.
Okay, so he's at a point of making these decisions?
He is, yeah. He's right now at John Carroll University.
Okay, so what are you telling him? What do you tell, what is he, a sophomore?
He'll be a sophomore next year, yeah, this fall.
He's a sophomore at John Carroll, which, by the way, is in Ohio and is a wonderful, wonderful college. What do you tell him? I mean, he comes home, you snap open a beer, and you talk about cabbages and kings. What advice are you giving to him as his older cousin?
Well, he's actually a pretty smart kid, so he's got me beat. But the advice I let him know is to research everything. Make sure you do your own research. Make sure you formulate your own opinions. Don't just take everybody's word for it. And question people. You know, question what they tell you. If the counselor tells you to go this route, ask them why. Try and kind of figure it out for yourself. You know. And ask those questions that, you know, I wish I would have asked back in college. So, I mean, that's the biggest thing is, for him, it's more so be informed. You know, he was looking at another university when he was going in at Gettysburg University. And he ended up choosing John Carroll because Gettysburg University didn't give the scholarships that John Carroll gave him. And, you know, I specifically told him right there, I said, be very, very careful. I said, remember that. Any money you borrow, you're going to have to pay back. And, you know, I said, you don't want to start out your life with $200,000 in student loan debt. I said, not when you can get the same degree from John Carroll, which is a very good university as well. I said, you know, you can get the same degree, but you can come out with a fraction of the debt. And I said, that would be your better choice. You know, and so he was thankful for that, and he ended up going with John Carroll.
Dan, I want to say to you, 25, 30 years ago, the high schools would give out a chart and they would try to find out what you were looking to do in the future. They would already give that to you in eighth grade in parochial school. And when by the time you got to high school, you already were trying to be directed in the area that you selected on your chart. Some people already knew that they wanted to be teachers or go into business. They wanted to be lawyers, salespeople, marketing, nursing, electrical, plumbing, heating, welding, automotive. They already had an idea what they wanted to be, and they got that idea from their parents, grandparents, neighbors. They were influenced by people, and they then took the next step. But what was good about that period of time is that the teachers in the eighth grade already knew what you gathered from them in the first 8 years of your schooling there. It takes 12 years to gather a high school graduate. And the teachers of that time were counseled to ask people what they felt about themselves and things like that. I'm seeing that that's not happening at all. I'm in human services, so I speak to a lot of people, and many of the young people that have graduated from college looking for employment opportunities, I'm sad to say many of them don't even have a proper resume. They don't know what good example they've seen in the last 20 years of their life from a kid up. They just don't know. They say, well, I guess I could try that for a while, and I don't know. I don't like to do marketing. I don't like to do sales. I don't know if I want to get up early in the morning, you know, to open up a store. It's 1,001 things. By the time you spend 10 or 15 minutes with the person, you just can't wait to give them a resume so they could walk out the door and go somewhere else. And that's very unfortunate. That means that We in America are paying teachers, counselors, administrators, and helping to keep a system going that's not really showing young people what they could do for a future. You agree with that, Larkin?
Absolutely. And I'll tell you a story, pretty much not unlike any of the stories that have been told so far. My son went to Virginia Commonwealth University, graduated. And I said, well, now you're part of the workforce, son. We got to go get a job. And he got a job. It was a desk job. Put on a coat and tie. Got his lunch. And off to work he went. At the end of the first week, he said, let me ask you a question, Dad. Am I supposed to sit behind this desk for the rest of my life? And I said, well, that's what executives do. And he said, I had no idea. I didn't want to be an executive this bad. And he is now in retail. He's out on his feet, building furniture, doing a lot of stuff with his hands, taking care of a group of stores, and never wears a tie, which is fine. We don't wear many ties today anymore. But he told his younger brother, make sure you get a job where you can move around, where you can be in different venues and see different people. He said that it didn't take him 3 months to figure out that he didn't want to sit behind a desk. And somewhere along the line, the system, and his father to some degree, let him down by explaining to him, with that degree doing what you're doing, that's where you're going to end up, and it's enough to drive you nuts. I mean, that type of job is made for a certain kind of person.
Hey, Dan, let's go back to your schooling and review, like, when a counselor, did you ever mention if you wanted to be a plumber or welder, what would they say to you back then going through Orchard Park?
Well, that was more just like it was kind of looked down of, yeah, you don't want to do that. That's not a great career. You don't really want to do that. It was just kind of, that wasn't there. It was the push was always for a white collar job,
not a skilled trade.
Skilled trades were dirty. They were, dirty, disgusting. They didn't make good money. There really wasn't anything. You're not going to go be a carpenter. You're going to go be an architect. You're not going to go be a fabricator. You're going to go be an engineer. It was always, they were pushing for the higher level. But, as we spoke about before, not everybody's built for college. And to Larkin's story, I have tons of friends that went through college, and they still don't know what they want to do. I had some that went through cops that are now, logisticians. I've had all different kinds of people I know that have switched their careers or went to college for a degree, got to the job, realized a week or 2 weeks later, like your son, they didn't like it. There was no real world experience there, which is where, when Mark says we get rid of the machine shops, the wood shops, the tech shops, home ec in the schools, that was that real life experience. That was where, as a kid or growing up, you could realize, hey, is this something I really enjoy doing, or is this something I really don't like doing? And getting rid of those gets rid of that real life experience, and kids are going to college completely blind with, do they even like the job they're going for? They just heard from somebody that it's a good job and it pays a lot of money, so that's what I'm going to go for. And then they realize they hate it.
Very well said. Very well said.
Dan, let me add something. Tell me if you agree or disagree with this.
Mm-hmm.
I think now the not knowing what the hell to do, we've exceeded college now. Now we're into advanced degrees, MBAs, these kinds of things. Very often, guys, I come into some contact from time to time down here with, for some of the things I'm involved with here, with MBA students. And they lament to me about can't find a job. And on one hand, South Florida isn't the absolute worst place, I think, in the country for the job market. But, our demographics are mostly old people, immigrants, money launderers, and tourists, and then Canadians for 6 months. So it's not exactly like the most hopping, buzzing place for jobs. But, Dan, I'm going to tell you, with some of the MBA students, I asked them this question, and it's going to sound so simple, but the profundity in it, you can take this one right to the bank. I asked them this question. I say, so-and-so, Dan, Mark, Larkin, let me ask you this question. What is it that you're actually good at? What is it that you're actually good at? I don't care how much you can make and all this crap. Give me something you're good at. Like Mark, Dan, I asked you guys, what are you good at? I can put stuff together. You know, we asked Henry what he's good at. He's good at making websites. Larkin, you know, what's Larkin good at? Larkin's good at giving, being the best damn tour guide in Philly to get to the good Irish bars, right? You know, that's what you're good at. Dan, I got to tell you, some of the MBA students, they can't answer the question.
Yeah, I don't doubt it, because some of them don't even have experience. They don't know what they're good at. You know, they're good at reading a book. You know?
How the hell do you not know by the time you've gone through all years of school? And you want to know something? I don't entirely fault the students, though, the graduates.
Well, I always said college doesn't teach you everything. It gives you the skills to learn everything. You know, and that's the biggest thing, is that you don't just come out of college and all of a sudden you know everything. There were a few kids I went to college with that came out, they turned down jobs for $40,000, $50,000 because they thought they should be making $60,000. But without any experience, you know, you can learn stuff. That's great. You have a graduate degree. You can learn a job. You can probably learn a lot more a job, and you can probably take that and excel further. But coming straight out of college, you don't know anything.
Very well said. My God, Dan, you are unbelievable. And before we get into the second half of our program, I am going to acknowledge a few of our sponsors. And first of all, I want to say thank you to our sponsors, because they allow me to give an abbreviated sponsorship on our Wednesday broadcast, because they are airing 7 days a week here on our daily programs. I'd like to first mention that Net Cost Market has two locations in Philadelphia. One is at 117,001 Busselton Avenue in Northeast Philadelphia. The other is at 2717 Welsh Road in Northeast Philadelphia. Check them out on the internet by going to netcostphilly.com. Best wishes to all of you from Dominic Rostotsky, attorney at law, from Dr. Eva Machak, a great dentist in Philadelphia, as well as to best wishes to all of you from Michael Steinman, attorney at law, and Mr. Joseph Drobot, president of the PRCUA. And Serena's Auto Body Shop reminds you they have two locations in Philadelphia, and they thank you for supporting American workers. Also, Leon Mankowski, attorney at law, thanks you for supporting the Made in America movement, and he says it's up to us to make positive things happen. And also, when you're in the Port Richmond section, remember that Polka Deli is located at 2719 East Allegheny Avenue, and that the Polish American Travel Service is at 2714 East Allegheny Avenue, also in Port Richmond. And whenever you're out shopping, look for Giorgio Foods, a symbol of quality since 1928. And Mr. Martin Bednarek, president of the Washington Savings Kazimierz Wielki Bank, thanks all of you for supporting American Made. And Yolanda Konopacka de Scipio, attorney at law, represents clients in Pennsylvania and New Jersey. And best wishes also as we continue this summer season from Karen Janot of State Farm Insurance, offering auto, home, and life insurance plans. And for a great smile, remember, Dr. Virginia Zinn and Everest Dental are located at 9892 Busselton Avenue in Northeast Philadelphia. And Mr. Frank Spulla, National President of the PNA, wishes all of you the very best. They are a national insurance, paternal insurance company. For more information, give them a call at 1-800-621-3723. And also, if you are in Philadelphia, make sure you check out the Sugar House Casino, located at 1001 Delaware Avenue. For more information, visit them on the internet at sugarhousecasino.com. And may I encourage you to check out the links on the front page of AmericanWorkersRadio.com, where you will see the photos of our panel members, and also the U.S. debt clock, which is a total unbelievable experience to look at that in itself. And I'm pleased to say that the Million American Jobs Project link has almost 4 million views. I encourage you to click on that so that people know exactly what happened to jobs here in the USA. But do look at all of the links on the front page of the internet site. I want to also bring attention to Mike Sessions, Go for Made in America. His link is up there, as well as Mark Andel's Inc., link. And you can see him, you can see his link simply by clicking on his picture. And also, if you want to contact any of your national elected leaders and let them know what you've been hearing on today's broadcast with Dan Andel and our panel members, you can click on the USA link and contact your officials, be they your local officials, state level, or national officials. They're all linked on there. Just go on, put in your zip code, and you'll be able to get to them. The bottom line is, we are doing more than all the politicians to bring change in the USA. In saying that, I want to thank Larkin Connolly, who is the East Regional Vice President of SCORE Association, to Rich Logis, the principal of RJL Technology Integration, and to Mark Andel, who is the founder of the Made in America store. What great people. They come on, they give of their time, and try to do everything possible. If we only had the big media people doing what we are doing, believe it or not, we've influenced millions of people while the media has been telling us all about crime and everything else, wasting our time instead of giving us ideas so that we can go up the ladder of success. With us today, our special guest is Dan Andel. And Dan, you have been an unbelievable guest, and I want to thank you for being on. I'm going to return to your Uncle Mark, and I'm going to ask Mark, when did you see Dan turning into a kid that's going to be, you know, doing his thing in life?
Well, I'd like to say Dan's dad and mom, you know, his dad's my my brother and, you know, father of the year. But Dan is blessed or not blessed with the, you know, we push, we work hard. He's got great family, great work ethic. So Dan, once he finished college, wasn't sure he was going to go to Border Patrol. And, you know, I told Dan, he came to me, I was opening a store. He said, hey, I'd like to work for you, I think. I said, well, you go to dinner with your father and you decide. I don't want to change your life if you want to make that decision. And Dan did just exactly that. And he really chose to join, and the Made in America was just brand new and just coming up, and we didn't know what we were getting into. But Dan at many times wanted to try and run, and I'd say, hey, you can't run, you got the same last name. And you know, me and Dan got a lot of stories about button heads, but Dan stuck it out. He not only designed our three you know, websites and runs them daily, and we're multitaskers. And I tell everybody, working with the Made in America General Welding is like working at the emergency room. We're not a normal hospital. We're the emergency room all the time. We're a certified nut house, and Dan knows that. But Dan, I want to compliment. He's got a lot on his plate. I want to mention he bought his house on his own before he was married just 2 years ago, and then Kelly was his girlfriend. They just got married, so he just inherited Kelly's debt, and he's trying to work it out with her. And it's tough. He's living on peanut butter, you know. It's
ramen
and vandals like to eat, you know. But great work ethic. Dan really, you know, made in America what it is today by running these three sites. He not only learned how the world works, where he was confused. He thought you hire somebody to do something, they do it. And we hold people accountable and responsible here. That's why some people don't like my Sue and that, because we want what we paid for. And Dan learned the hard way, and I think Dan will, you know, talk about this too, but, you know, he learned the hard way that people don't. You got to follow it through. You got to watch everything. You don't get what you paid for. You got to be nosy. And running a business is not for everybody. And Dan's had a lot of adjustments. But now he builds his own websites, and Rich would appreciate it, and he runs a platform. But these websites, MadeAmericaStore.com, Amazon.com, and Wholesale.com, they're just like regular brick-and-mortar stores. So, Dan, you know, I don't compliment him enough here, but hats off to him. He's really come a long way for a young guy, but he's got this debt, which is a problem because we're not where we want to be yet, and Dan knows he still has faith that we're going to make it there. So that's, you know, Dan, you can kind of add to that. You know, you've learned a ton over the last 5 years.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we when I first started here, maybe a year afterwards, I had a couple of college professors, and it's a good story. But you know, I'd asked them originally when Mark had started the Made in America store, and I asked a couple of my teachers. I said, "Yeah, you said my uncle's got this idea. He wants to start the store." I'm like, 100% American-made products. I'm like, what do you guys think about it? They're like, you know, Dan, we're more of a global economy right now. I don't think it's going to work. Needless to say, about a year and a half later, they invited us back to talk to their entrepreneurial class about how to start a new business and what it's like to start a new business. So me and Mark had quite a good time with that, seeing as though it was the two teachers who originally told me it wouldn't work. that we spoke to their classes, and they were both present for it. So that was really fun. But the fact is, like I said, when you get out of college, you really don't know that much. I've learned a ton being here. Like Mark said, you hire a company or you hire somebody to do something, you think they're going to do it, and it just doesn't work that way. You have to continue fighting to make sure that things are done and done correctly. So it's always a work in progress, but you're always learning every single day.
Well, you're right, and I'll tell you one thing. People who listen to our broadcast regularly and people who've met your uncle or been up to the store say he's an unbelievable man. He's willing to put his head on a chopping block for what he believes in. And unfortunately, we don't have enough Mark Andels in the country at this time.
So,
well, Michael, Dan, you mentioned before, I just want to add a point, guys. Michael, you said before about, you know, baby and students coming up the ranks. You know, the thing, Dan, is this. When it's, if it's actually happening, like if we've got guidance counselors, teachers being tough on us, you know, when it's actually happening, you're kind of pissed at them, right? You know, you don't like, I'll tell you that some of the most influential people in my business professional life were the ones who were, as they call it, polite and then fill in the blank with a word that I can't really say on the air because we'll get fined. And they were always that way with me, and I always hated them when they were that way with me. But it's years later that I come to realize that years later I'd ask, why were you that way with me? And some of the people I said, they said, because you had what it took, right? You had what it took to potentially succeed. There's no guarantees for anything. But they were tough, right? They were tough on me, and you know, I bet Mark, you know, the reason you're sometimes probably tough on people you're working with is because you really give a damn about their livelihood, and you give a damn about helping them to potentially realize their own potential. And
well, that's the biggest thing, is that you're helping people realize their own potential.
Yeah, and you can get mad when it's going on. You know, you feel you're getting picked on. The problem is generally in a broad – I'm going to make a broad statement here, which I don't usually like doing, but I think it is at least somewhat applicable in education. We just want to – we want to further wimpify everybody. I mean, we want to baby everyone. You know, we want to baby. We want to take things out. We want to take historic things out of the purview. We want to try to further – I mean, how many times, Dan, have you ever heard a successful job candidate go on the interview or go and talk to you and say, well, you know what? Here's how I got the job on my interview. They asked me this question. Dan, have you ever successfully performed well on a cookie-cutter cattle call standardized test? Well, as a matter of fact, I did. What? You got the job. Can you start today? So all of that crap is just meant to create education. Is this, you know, and college is just the evolution or the evolution of it, depending on how you look at it, of that. You know, it's just to let's get the students wimpified. Let's not. I mean, you don't know what you do. You don't know what you're good at. No problem. You know, go to college. You'll figure it out there. You know, it'll cost you $250,000, but you'll figure it out there. Well, it hasn't worked out exactly as was planned.
Yeah, it's an everybody wins world. It's you know, they don't want to hurt their feelings, they don't want to put them down. But like you said, I agree with you. You know, some of the best things I've had in my life were, you know, when I was challenged or told how it really was, even though it's not what I wanted to hear. You know, like Mark said, me and him have butted heads before. You know, he said, "Well, it's possible." I said, "No, it's not." He says, "It's possible," and I go and I do the research, and you know, I'm like, "This is impossible." But
what do I
found
tell
a way,
you? Dan? We've
I found a workaround to make it happen. So you know, and that's what I said. A good leader recognizes potential, you know, and then they help you achieve that.
I mean, I ain't saying, look, Dan, I'm not saying make a, you know, a 10-year-old, a 12-year-old, or a high school senior, you know, get down on his knuckles and give you 100, okay, if he's not exactly sure what, but up to that point, but by the time that a student has reached junior, senior year in high school, there's got to be some. I mean, I'm going to sound like a real, you know, like a grumpy old man here, but there's got to be some clarity into what it is that you maybe kind of sort of want to do or what you're kind of sort of good at, as opposed to just, you know, baby the kids, wipe their butts, keep them coming through in the door, out the door, in the door, out the door, and then lead them to college. And as I say, it hasn't exactly worked out that way. And the thing with engineers and all these things, it's interesting how you're saying a lot of guidance counselors, all these teachers, you know, do engineer. Don't do mechanic work. It's dirty. Do engineers. What's funny about that, somewhat of an irony, is we brain drain countries around the world to bring their engineers in.
That's exactly
right.
Kind
of fun. Yeah. We brain drain some of these guys, right in India. That term brain drain, that's what we're doing. So for a country, another irony. For the United States, which has shown a very, very clear interest, there's a growing segment in this country right now, guys. I don't know how big it is, but it's growing. That more and more believes that the United States owes the rest of the world freedom, owes them a living, and owes them an education.
Yep.
And interestingly, many of those same people don't think there's anything wrong with brain draining. So how can you have an interest in the rest of the world when you're taking their best and brightest and bringing them here?
You know,
but
guys, when I was in school,
problem, Michael. See, Michael, that's the problem with a lot of our electorate, though. What we fail to do a lot of the times is logic. There is a growing segment that believes that. And look, I'm not saying that we always keep the door shut. But this whole crap about owning the world, living, and owing them freedom, I got to tell you guys, there's a growing segment, I believe, in our nation right now, most of whom are Hillary Clinton voters, by the way, who will vote for Hillary Clinton no matter what. It doesn't matter what she says or does or hasn't done or hasn't said. It doesn't matter how scripted and controlled there is on an original thought out of her head. And the people will vote for her who are going to vote for her no matter what. No matter what.
So I want to ask Dan on a little bit on the lighter side. Dan, do you and Kelly have any little Dans running around yet?
No, not yet.
A new dog.
Yeah, I got a dog.
That's where every young couple starts.
Yeah.
But you are in the most enviable position. Your age, your sense of direction, the accomplishment you've made so far, your understanding of leadership, because you hit the nail right on the head. Leaders don't hire people dumber than them. Leaders hire people smarter than them, and then they make them figure it out and make sure that they're always pointed in the right direction. But for you and Kelly, when those babies start coming, and I hope they do, I hope you have a brood of them, life is going to start to take on a sense of meaning for you. Right now, your job is important because you have to raise income to support the lifestyle you understand now. But when you start having children, it takes on a whole different complexion. And I've got to tell you a funny daddy story, only because it happened to me this morning. I went over to pick up my 6-year-old granddaughter who was in the other room. Here I am at home for once. And she's asleep in the other room. And as I was leaving, she said, you know, if you want to chop up some an avocado and put a little milk, mother's milk, that's what she's on now, she's taking solid food. And I said, you're kidding me. Once she ever for solid food, she said, last night. And I said, oh, that's so exciting. Have you had an opportunity to change your first diaper? And she sheepishly grinned at me and said, no. Well, I got to tell you guys, it was waiting for me when I got her home. And for those who have been fathers and raised children, you understand exactly what the significance is of a baby's first diaper when they're on solid food.
You know, Larkin, yeah, that's right. And Dan is going to have to be a good example, and he's going to have to give example to his kids, future kids, and people in his friend category to make sure that they do something with their kids so that when the kids come out of junior high school and go into high school, they have an idea what's going on. When I was in school, they made every student in the room stand up and give a spiel as to what you would like to do in the future. Some people said, well, I would like to be a court reporter. Another one said, I'd like to work for the Daily News. Another one says, well, I'd like to be a teacher. I really enjoy teaching and being in this environment. Another one says, I like law. I want to be a salesperson. I want to be a realtor. That's not happening in our schools today. And by the way, I still remember some of the reactions and some of the statements that were offered by those boys and girls in the classroom. And you look back all these years later and you see that some of them did go into media. Some of them went to be lawyers. That's not happening, and I don't know what the bottom line is. Then I'm going to ask you a question, then I'm going to go back to the group. If you were in charge of the school board there where you live, how would you like to see things change for the junior high school and high school students so that they would know where they're going to go in the future?
I'd like to see more practical experience. You know, I think everybody, you know, every kid growing up has the idea of, you know, I want to be a policeman, I want to be a fireman, I want to be a doctor or a lawyer. You know, and I think I try to integrate some real life experience into that. You know, we do, you know, we get to college and we go for our degree, and, you know, one of the requirements is that you do an internship, you know, an unpaid internship. But what's stopping us from doing that in high school? You know, go see what a lawyer really does. Go see what a doctor really does. You know, is that something you really want to do? You know, so I try to integrate that. Wood shops, you know, metal fabrication shops, working with your hands, plumbing, electrical. We need those people every day. Auto mechanics. You know, like I said, I can do a lot on a computer, but when it comes to fixing my car, I don't have a clue. You know, I have to go hire somebody to do that, usually somebody at our shop. So, you know, put it out there. Let the kids kind of get a taste of what it's really like, you know, what it's really like to do that job. See if they like it. You know, forensic science I always thought was great until I learned about, you know, 85% of it is paperwork. My wife, same thing, drug and alcohol counselor. Really loved talking to people, really loved helping people. Never realized that the job is probably 95% paperwork.
Right.
You know, so figure it out before you spend, you know, $50,000-$60,000 trying to get a degree that'll let you do the job.
And you know, that's where the career fairs in the high schools used to be so good, and also the people coming in to talk about the businesses and what they're offering and what they have. There's none of that going on anymore.
Yeah, even some of that stuff, because you have, you know, you have recruiters that sometimes can be like salesmen, you know, where they're just trying to tell you all the good things about the job.
But at least you had, if those people came around, at least you'd have some idea of
right.
what it's all about. But there seems to be nothing, because I go out of my way to ask people, well, what did you decide to do when you were, 12 years old, and did that change when you were 16? Or I ask them just basic little questions, and many of the younger people today, they say, well, I thought maybe this and that, and then I thought, well, maybe I'll decide in college after I graduate. I mentioned a few weeks ago that I had a kid who graduated last May, a year ago, and when he came in for help with a resume, he graduated a very well-known college, and he came in and he says to me, you know, you're mentioning on your radio show on Saturday about a resume. I'm here. I'm giving you the information, and let me hear what you have to say about what I have on it. So it was very few sentences. I couldn't believe it. He didn't get started yet. And I said to him, well, you graduated in May. He says, yeah, I went to the shore. I spent the summer there. I was a hotel clerk, and I stayed there to the end of October. Then I came back. It was Thanksgiving, Christmas. It was so cold. And then all of a sudden, he says, well, now it's getting, you know, got warmer. I want to get out there again. And I said, but the whole year passed almost. It was almost a year at that point. And he said, well, that's okay. I still had time to find myself and look at what's in the market and all. And I said, well, this is the only stuff you have for the resume? He says, yeah, well, I'm just getting started, so maybe I'll do this again and maybe. And I don't know. And then, you know, this, I'm talking like we're talking together. And then I said to him, well, what are you going to do if you don't find a job? This was in April. He says, well, the hotel invited me to come back and be the clerk again for those few months of the busy season. So there's another whole year wasted. He told me his college, he had went in for counseling to get a year reprieve or something to pay back the loans because the economy is bad and all this rigmarole, mainly because he had no one in junior high school or high school to counsel him along, to give him example as to what he possibly could do in the future.
Yeah, absolutely. And sometimes what's even worse with that is, you know, he was able to defer the debt for a year. But normally you have 6 months after you graduate college before you have to start paying on your student loans. And I know a number of people also that they re-enter college because once you're in college, it defers a student loan. So they get their four-year degree. They don't know what they want to do. 6 months comes along. They reapply for college and get into a graduate program so that just so that they can defer the loans for another 2 years.
You're going to have to, Uncle Mark, you're going to have Dan on again with us real soon, because this is the time of year where people are getting, you know, I hate to say it, ready to go back to school. And I would like to put ideas into people's heads as to what they should be doing when those boys and girls go back to school. They should go to the counselors and say, what's going on? I want to have this done. Where are the career fairs? Let's get this thing back to where it should be, back to where it was 25 years ago. What happened in 25 years that made America think of jobs with your hands as undesirable? What made that happen?
Mike, I want to touch on, you know, Dan is a first-time home buyer, and I'm proud of him that he bought his house on his own. He's struggling, but he did it on his own. Nobody gave him the money. But he's also becoming a plumber now, electrician now, with his home repairs. And Dan, you wish if you would have had a little more, now you've got us to show you different things, but in school, if they would have showed you how to do some of these repairs in the metal shops, wood shops, power mechanics, life skills, it would have helped you. Now you've got to educate. So they picked on these skilled working jobs, but yet you've got to do that to save yourself some money, correct? You've had an education in that in the last year with your own home.
Yeah, I mean, there's a reason I sit down in the basement with the plumber while he does all the work. It's not just to make sure he's doing a good job, but it's to make sure that I can learn it so I can do it next time.
There you go. Dan, you said it. From example, that's what those teachers in the schools are supposed to be, an example. And you learn from your parents, from your friends and their parents, and what they do for a living, what you would like to be. Guys, I hate to say it, but we're up for final remarks. I want to first of all say thank you to Dan Andel. And Dan, I hate to tell you, but you're going to have to come on many times more because you are a very special person. And I can see you have a little bit of the Mark Andel mentality, which is good. Working with him for those few years has really been great. Great job on the internet site. And I can't tell you how proud I am to know that someone like yourself is out there moving up the ladder. If there were more Dan Andels out there, America would be a much better place.
So thank you very much for having me,
Dan. I would tell you that I've had many jobs in my life. Excuse me. And the best advice I can give you is stay happy. Make sure you're happy. Stay in lockstep with your wife, with your children when they come, and stay happy with your job. Life is way too short to do something you don't want to do.
Yeah, absolutely.
Our thanks to Dan Andel, Larkin Connolly, Rich Logis, Mark Andel, and our engineer, Henry Chaplinsky. I'm Michael Blihash. Until this Saturday at 11, my best wishes to you and yours. Stay cool. And you can hear a rebroadcast of today's show a little later on this afternoon. But do email it out to family members and friends so that they get the idea that we are on the right side of making positive change happen here in the USA. Thanks for tuning in. Be with you soon.
Thanks, everyone. Have a great week, guys, and bye, American.
Have a good week.